Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno here in the studio. A little later on, Julian Laurent will be here to reflect on Real Madrid's clash with Athletic Bilbao. Also, Yanar Fjortov talking about Borussia Dortmund, of course, the first game under their new coach. But we start in the Premier League. Wolves beating Chelsea by 2-1. It was a late winner for Wolves that gave them all 3 points and stopped Frank Lampard's team from going top of the table. Frank LaBeouf is with us. Frank, that's back-to-back defeats now for Chelsea. What went wrong today?
Well, if we go on top of the tiniest, because it seems to affect every big clubs right now, and we're going to talk about Man City after, but we saw that during the weekend where all the big teams, you know, seem to be tired. But 2 points. 1 point is, if they are tired, why coaches keep on changing only two players when they have the chance to three for three and keep on complaining about the fact they have only three changes, they can make only three changes. And also, I think, and we talked about that during the weekend, if at least you having a bad day and you don't want, and you think that you cannot win, please try to not lose the game. Mm. We saw that Liverpool didn't lose. The two Manchester drew, and so they share points. But Chelsea lost because they wanted to win the last game, and they lost again today, because they tried to win at the last minute. I want to see players like Thiago Silva and N'Golo Kante, Kovacic, who are players with experiences, to say, okay, we can't win today, so we don't lose. That's the main thing we have to do. So the last minute, I saw Kovacic, you know, going forward and being too far away. Therefore, the counterattack, and I think it's, I don't know if it's Podence who got the ball, who gave it to Neto, but he wasn't in position. He should have stayed there. Or at least Silva and N'Golo Kante should have told him, you know, you stay there, because at least if they don't score the goal, we draw. And that's the main thing. So I think they have to be more responsible for their acts. Of course, they can be tired, but at least with players that they have, you have N'Golo Kante in the middle of the park, champion of the world, you should have leaders who can say, okay, today we are bad, so we don't lose the game, we draw.
That's what Lampard was saying after the game. We have to learn to grind out, to see out these sort of matches and not make stupid mistakes as they did at the end.
Well, first of all, it's recognizing what sort of level and performance you're putting together. And as players and as a team, you know full well when you're not playing well, when you're not comfortable, or where things are not easy for you out on the field. And so you're up 1-0. You know what you do? You start shifting everything towards the middle. And you just kind of, okay, get numbers behind the ball. We're going to close down space. We're going to force turnovers. If we get a chance to go on a counter, we'll go on a counter. If we get a set piece, we'll take advantage of the set piece. But other than that, we're going to keep everything in front of us. Instead, Chelsea goes on a sort of a back and forth with Wolves. Eventually, Wolves comes back into the game. It's 1-1. And to the point that Frank is making, I don't mind that Chelsea, in general, not today in particular, but in general, if you're thinking about, okay, we are going to be title contenders, we're going to go for the win because this is the team that we want to beat. But as it pertains to tonight's matchup, because of what I just said, recognizing the moment that you're not playing well, that it's not going well for you, that you're having difficulties defending, that the transition game is not working, and that whenever you go on the attack, you leave yourself exposed and vulnerable in the back, then this is a moment in which, for goodness sakes, you have to have some sort of presence on the field that says, people, get back behind the ball, we'll get our point, and get out of here. That lack of recognition from players on the field, and then that lack of communication coming from the silence as well, because if you're Frank Lampard, you can point this out at the end of the game, but you can also say during the match to your players, 10 minutes to go, say, hey guys, you know what? Shut it down. We're going to keep everything in front of us. We'll take the point. It's just simply not working for us tonight. And recognizing that, both from the silence and on the field, and that nobody says anything until after the game, a little too late.
Frank? Kai Havertz is someone we've discussed a lot on the show. Once again, pretty anonymous in this tie.
Yeah, almost invisible. And that's, I mean, I touched a point, you know, some weeks ago. And we heard Frank Lampard say, you know, you have to give him times and times. But I don't know. It's something that I don't like is the way sometimes it feels like he's not there. That is not trying to compensate, you know, maybe a lack of confidence with, you know, maybe a desire of being just a warrior. You're not showing us that, okay, I'm not good at the moment, I'm looking for, you know, some stuff that I'm not getting in, but I'm going to fight for the club, and not being like, yeah, invisible. That's what it is. We wondered, I mean, we shared texts during the game, and we wonder if he was on the field. That's the main thing. You can be bad. Werner didn't have a good game, but we saw him trying to get something at it. We don't see Havers getting anything from there. So I'm very concerned about that guy. And I want to listen to Frank Lampard say, okay, we need more time. So maybe I don't know when. Maybe Ali knows better than me. Maybe at the end of the season, we're going to say, okay, maybe next season he's going to do something. But I don't forget the price that Chelsea paid for that guy. And I know he's only 21. But we also see players who just arrived, didn't need much time to adapt, and being very influential. You know, like Alan, you know, going to Dortmund and scoring goals, you know, immediately.
Yeah.
So I think it's Hazard as difficult, you know, as difficult as it is to adapt to England or Germany. So it's not. I don't understand what Havertz is doing right now, but I want an answer.
Not only is he non-existent, when he gets the ball, what you see from him is that he can't wait to get rid of the ball as quickly as he possibly can.
Is he been playing in the wrong role? Is that the issue? Because he's in number 10, yeah? That's his best role.
Well, even if you're being played in the wrong role, when you have the possession of the ball, in whatever area of the field you are, you can still see when a player is a player. When you can still see when a guy has that talent and it looks to combine. When he gets the ball now, it's like one touch and backwards.
Right.
Two touches, sideways. You never do see him kind of facing up and say, hey, let me take somebody on.
How do you change that? How do you instill that confidence in him?
And that is the tricky part, because once he starts going down this path, how do you reverse it? Mm. And to your question, I say, confidence only comes from good performances. But good performances comes from confidence.
It's a sort of vicious circle.
It is a vicious circle, and one that you don't get out of, and it's not easy to get out of, because, as you just said, if you're playing me in the wrong position, then as a player, I start looking for excuses and say, well, it couldn't possibly be me. Well, I'm being played out of position. And until I play in my position, I don't really feel comfortable enough to take on players or to find a pass or to really take a risk going forward. You don't see a player taking risk going forward. And when you don't see a player with that sort of talent not taking risk, is because, one, he's not confident, two, he's not comfortable, and three, he's just afraid of this moment and failing in this moment.
It turned out to be a great day for the likes of Spurs, Liverpool and Southampton, because not only did Chelsea drop points, but Manchester City did as well, very much unexpectedly at home against West Brom. They could only manage a 1-1 draw. Frank, we're seeing this more and more from Manchester City, aren't we? Positions in which they should go on to win, they're dropping points, a lot of possession, but not many chances.
That's what it is. I tried to analyze the game and see why it wasn't going right, you know. But last season they had Aguero at front, and we know that Guardiola likes to play in the triangle situation with lots of triangles on between players to make sure they can go forward and backwards and on the side and work with those triangles many times during the game. But with Gabriel Jesus, I think, at front, you can't find that triangle at front, and you have to go like playing handball, where you go and go around with Foden, Sterling, Gundogan, and Rodri. So it's not going anywhere. It's boring because it's only a position system. And sometimes some players, they have a chance to shoot. And I remember like 10 minutes before the end, De Bruyne is in position 20 yards or 25 yards away from the goal and doesn't shoot. And I don't know what's going on with the players in their head and how they feel the game. But it's not pleasant right now. When I see Manchester City, it's hardly a pleasure to see that team just keeping the ball and not trying to get something out of there. You have Sterling who can try, a little bit of good again today, Foden in the first half, that's it. Even De Bruyne is a bit disappointing right now.
We saw a couple of big saves, of course, for West Brom in this game, but where's the spark? Where's the life from Manchester City that we keep feeling is going to come? But it doesn't.
It sure doesn't. And the couple of saves that you're talking by Johnstone, and it's two headers at the very end, and they come from services from the right-hand side, driven balls into the box, which is not what Manchester City like to do, obviously. But because they were desperate, now they're putting balls into the box. Gundogan had one, and then Gabriel Jesus had another one. A couple of saves are made. The game stays at 1-1. But I think there is something there to analyze. There is something there to break down and say, you know what? Sometimes, maybe, instead of this passing back and forth and back and forth and this way and that way and that way again and then this way again, maybe you swing a ball in.
Yeah.
Maybe you do a little something different, a little change of pace, something that breaks up the defending aspect of it. They miss a player like David Silva. They really, really do. Because as good as De Bruyne is in finding those passes, they don't quite have the guy that gets in between two lines, in little pockets, in little spaces, and he can find that breakthrough, that pass through that breaks lines of defending. De Bruyne will give you some of that, but not quite in the same manner in which David Silva used to. So a player like him that they thought maybe Phil Foden was going to be that guy, different type of player. And since they don't have that guy, you don't really see that ball playing into that space. And now what you see is that ball being sideways and this way and that way and that way, never swung in, never through, never breaking anybody down. It becomes very predictable to defend.
Let's just take a look then,
Dan,
go on, Frank.
Dan, I'm sorry. I just want to add something about what Ali said. You know, I would be a right back or a left back. I would open the door for them to cross because I know they wouldn't do it. Mm. That's the thing. And I would be a central defender. If I have somebody like De Bruyne coming in front of me, I will open the door for him to shoot because I know he won't do it. So I will open that door and or open the door of, like, I know that I think he's going to shoot. I make me think that he's going to shoot. And I will anticipate to the pass. That's the thing. It's too much the game we know. And as Ali said, you know, sometimes surprise us, do something different and maybe more direct. Like that maybe it will surprise the opponents.
Well, let's just take a look at how the table stands. And after those results, Chelsea 5th, Manchester City 6th. And, of course, the big game on Wednesday, Liverpool against Spurs. Top of the table clash, 1st versus 2nd. Let's get quick picks on this, shall we? Frank, who's going to win this one?
It's Liverpool against Tottenham. Am I right?
That's correct.
At Liverpool? That's correct. You know, we saw lately too many big games being very bad.
Mm.
So I go for a draw.
0-0.
1-1, 0-0.
Oh, good, yeah. Frank. Really selling it.
Yeah.
Signed for this game.
Yeah, I'm very optimistic,
Liverpool!
Are you all right?
I'm just got excited.
No, that's not what you think. It's because you're desperate to see a good game. Yes. That's what you want to see. Yes. Liverpool.
Yes. I'm hoping it's a good game. Mourinho may just take over, and if he does take over...
Yeah, well, he will take over.
Then it won't be a great game. Liverpool, I'm taking Liverpool.
Liverpool?
Yes.
Liverpool to win it?
Yes, I am.
Thank you very much, boys. More from Frank over on Extra Time. He's with Jan and Ali answering your tweets.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
In Spain, Real Madrid go level on points at the top of the table with a 3-1 victory over Athletic Bilbao. Toni Kroos opening the scoring. Athletic Bilbao down to 10 men. Real Madrid will capitalise that in the second half as well with Karim Benzema getting a brace. Julian Laurent joins us. Jules, what's happened to Real Madrid? Ever since I tweeted out, this is the worst side I've seen in the history of the club. They've been brilliant.
Every time when they've got their back to the wall and when they have to react, they're under pressure, their manager is under pressure. they manage a way to do it. It's quite incredible how they can just raise their level when they need to, when they want to raise the intensity, raise the movement, the discipline, defensively, offensively, the clinical aspect of it as well. It's just fascinating how they can almost like switch the button, and when they have to, they own it, and they're so good, they're so in control, like we saw tonight, for example, and like we saw in the last three games as well, the Derby last weekend, the Sevilla game, the Gladbach game as well in the Champions League in between the two. It's pretty impressive, really, and okay, maybe the answer is that they play for Zinedine Zidane and they wanted to show that they were there for him, and when he was under huge pressure, they delivered for him. But I think there's more than that. There's that determination. The experience helps a lot, I think. But also, it's just like, just that grit that they can have and that resilience when they have to have it. Luka Modric, for example, Casemiro, although he didn't start tonight, but all those players there can just turn it on when they want to almost. It's fascinating.
And what makes it more fascinating, Ali, it's the same personnel. Mm-hmm. It's not as if he's bringing people who weren't playing before. These are the same players who were terrible. And as Julian said, they were great again today.
Yes, they were. And let's just address today's game in particular. They do get help by Raul Garcia being thrown out.
Yep.
In the first few minutes of the game. And idiotic, by the way, from Raul Garcia.
It was the right decision.
Well, of course it was. Yep. There's no doubt. Both challenges were worthy of yellow cards. But in particular, the second one, where you're already on a yellow card and somehow you're going to do a slide tackle late on Toni Kroos in his own defensive half. What exactly are you gaining from that tackle if you're Raul Garcia? So that makes it easier for Real Madrid. The other thing to highlight is the flexibility of Real Madrid. That we think, you know, plan A, plan B, we always talk about that, have that conversation, and certainly with Manchester City, for example, or for Barcelona, for example. When you look at Real Madrid today, go back to a 4-2-3-1 because Casemiro is not available since he was suspended from yellow card accumulation. Okay, so now you sit in Modric and Kroos, and Valverde has a free role to go because he has the athleticism to join in the attack. Vinicius gives you work down the right hand, down the left hand side, and Lucas Vazquez does the same down the right hand side. And you have, of course, the presence of Benzema. And it doesn't really matter, and you talk about personnel, it doesn't really matter about the personnel when they know exactly what the roles are within each one of those formations. They go to a 4-3-3 when Casemiro's on the field. When he's not on the field, 4-2-3-1. Everybody knows their role. And Lucas Vazquez, who continues to be a guy, yeah, I'll play on the right-hand side. Yeah, I'll play right back. You put me wherever you want to put me, and I'm going to do a job for you. And you may think, well, is that really critical for Real Madrid? Yes, it is, because at one point, you needed to find some sort of identity. And over the last four games, you found in different formations, different personalities, and yet you found an identity. And the main identity, the core identity for this group is that this group knows how to win games. They know how to win. And it's not a surprise, and it's not a coincidence that if you're Atletico Madrid and you have an opportunity to make a statement, you don't make it. Real Madrid makes a statement. That's the difference between the two clubs. That's why Real Madrid now becomes a favorite, because when you look at the two, who do you trust to win in the end? After all bad performances, after all long season, who do you trust to win this whole thing? More so Real Madrid than you would Atletico Madrid.
Who are you picking for Jules FC first? Benzema or Lewandowski, Jules?
Benzema, 100%. I mean, come on, the guy's at the end of the month, he'll be 33. 33, and this is the best years of his career. You know, he's never played that well for different reasons. And he admits himself that he was at the service of Cristiano before, and he did that great. And he almost sacrificed himself, or at least sacrificed his numbers and his goals and everything for Cristiano, for the team to be successful. And that worked. And he was very happy in that role, no problem. But now showing what he's showing, to be the main guy, to be the one where you can rely on, who will be key in the key games, like he was in the Derby, like he was tonight, like he was last season, because last season, and I will say it again, he was La Liga's best player. I don't care that Messi got 25 goals and 25 assists. He was the best player in La Liga. He got the title for Real Madrid with some help from others, but he was outstanding in the 10 games that they won in a row after the restart. He was incredible. And I think, again, he's showing this season, despite the little injuries that he had at the beginning, the up and downs of the teams at times, he's showing again that he's the main guy. And I think seeing him playing like this is wonderful.
He's exceeded all expectations, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not the expectations of himself and Zidane. I think they're very clear as to what they should expect from each other. But the fact is that when we were looking at Real Madrid and said, and Ronaldo had walked and gone to Juventus,
you're thinking, supposed to be Bale. Bale was supposed to be.
Yeah, you're supposed. Well, and where are the goals going to come from? Yeah. Because see, Benzema hasn't been that guy. Well, he has been that guy. The problem is that he's also been sort of an easy target, almost as if, well, he's playing because, you know, Zidane and him, they get along. He's one of these, like, the preferred child. No, he's playing because he is more than a key contributor. He is the key to their success in the attack. Anything of value in the attack from Real Madrid goes through Karim Benzema, either with the final touch or in the build-up play or him making a run that opens something up. Everything that is valuable in the attack of Real Madrid goes through Karim Benzema one way or another.
So taking a look at the table, as I mentioned, Real Madrid then level on points. Real Sociedad have the chance to establish a three-point lead over the defending champions. They are against Barcelona on Wednesday. What a game, Ali. What a test for Barca and indeed for Real Sociedad as well.
Yes, yet another opportunity for one of these teams that right now look like contenders, but are they going to be really contenders towards the end of the season? Well, this is it. If there was ever a time to play against Barcelona, this would be it.
Yep.
You're Real Sociedad, this is it. This is your moment. If you're Barcelona, you'll be doing Real Madrid a favor by being in Real Sociedad, but you need to start winning games if you're going to have any chance whatsoever to be a major player this season.
It could be a landmark game for Lionel Messi. He is only one goal away from matching Pelé's record of most goals for a single club. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Edin Terzic's first game in charge of Borussia Dortmund would end in a 2-1 victory today away against Werder Bremen. Jan Arne Fjørtoft joins us. Jan, Dortmund weren't anything spectacular, but I suppose it was all about that win, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was important for them after firing Favre that they bounced back with a win after that 5-1 defeat against Stuttgart, which was a terrible game of all means. And then you have a look at the table. They needed that point to be close to the goal of the season, who was to be closer to Bayern Munich. I'm not sure they will do that, but I mean, a minimum goal or target for them is to get into the Champions League. So that was one of those wins. 3 points, bye-bye, auf Wiedersehen, off you go back to Dortmund.
Yeah, and what was the price tag on Jadon Sancho in the summer? Was it 120 million? He's nowhere near that sort of value at the moment, is he?
Lost all kind of self-confidence, and I think that sometimes we forget that these players, they're not machines. They're human beings. He's a young kid. There was a pressure from everybody to get him to Manchester United. Fair enough. He's an Englishman. Maybe want to go home. Dortmund said, I'm going to stay. I want you to stay. And then I saw him today. I mean, that was a player without confidence. He has the will. He took on people today quite good. 1-2 always went to a green shirt of Werder Bremen. So his confidence is very low at the moment. Imagine, we are coming to Christmas. He has scored 0 goals in the Bundesliga, which is, by all standards, and mostly for Sancho's standard, terrible.
Speaking of goals, how's your boy Haaland?
He's okay. He's getting fit at Aspire in Qatar, going to the Heat. And they expect him to be back the 3rd of January. I mean, this is just a short summer or winter break, that is. And they expect him to be back. He's doing fine. And he got his trophy this week. And he's happy with life. And he just hope that he will be back sooner rather than later.
Jan Arne Fjørtoft, thank you very much. More German action on Wednesday. Bayern Munich are playing, as are Leipzig and Bayer Leverkusen as well. We'll be discussing that on the next edition of the show.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Action in Italy today. Lazio could only manage a draw against Benevento, meaning that they remain eighth in the table. Couple of big games on Wednesday. Juventus against Atalanta. Meanwhile, it's Inter who play host to Napoli. I wish we end the show with some predictions for you.
Okay.
From those games, Ali. Let's start with Atalanta, Juventus.
Juventus.
Yeah.
It's about that
time. They're starting
time.
To get a little bit momentum going, aren't
it's
they?
It's about that time for Juventus to say, okay, all right, people.
Yeah.
Enough with this child's play.
Meanwhile, Inter Napoli.
Talk about child's play. Inter.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to believe in Inter now?
No.
Huh?
No, definitely not. Although they don't have to worry about European football now, do they?
That's what I've been told, so I can focus. I should believe in them now.
That's it. Thank you very much to Ali and to everyone else. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Ali Moreno with me in the studio. We also welcome Jan Alfjortov and Frank Leboeuf are with us as well. Oh, excitement. Okay, considering Messi and Barca's poor showing last season and in the shambles this season, does Ali, in his heart of hearts, how is that heart of heart, Ali?
Dark.
Truly cool. Think Messi's place in the final three FIFA the best men's best player list is well deserved? Who's on that list? I think it's Messi, Ronaldo, and Lewandowski, isn't it?
Yeah, it's well-deserved because whatever Barcelona was able to achieve, however little that was last season, was really about Messi. And I can argue that of all the seasons that he's had and that have been so impressive and so productive, man, he had to do a whole lot of work last year just to make Barcelona somewhat competitive.
Right.
Everybody else had fallen sort of off the deep end, and Luis Suarez was injured, and Coutinho was with Bayern Munich. And you look around, you're thinking, well, who's the guy that Messi is going to associate with? Who is the guy that he's going to combine with? Where are the goals going to come from? Ricky Puig? No, that's not the guy. Martin Braithwaite? Yeah, coming from Leganés? No, that's not the guy. Griezmann? He will be the answer. No, he wasn't either. And so, the options are limited and were limited for Lionel Messi, so therefore I thought he was actually outstanding last season, but clearly not to the level that we have expected from him and Cristiano Ronaldo for that matter.
Jan, does he deserve to be in the top three?
Yes, but he doesn't deserve to win. I mean, Lewandowski should win. He is the best number nine since Marco van Basten. Lewandowski should take this by a mile.
Frank?
Don't bring me into that discussion. It's a forward slash striker discussion, individual performance. So don't bring a defender into that. Thank you very much.
All right, Frank. Thank you very much for your input. It's wonderful.
Why are we bringing him into the show? All right. Hey, Frank, just go to sleep.
All right, Craig Burley. Yeah. Thank you very much for
Come on, what kind of attitude is that? Wow. Mr. Negativity.
You see Liverpool beating Leipzig and going through to succeed in the Champions League or Premier League after their continuous injury crisis. Jan, Leipzig?
Don't ask an attacker about that. No, I think that was a fantastic draw. I mean, Klopp against Nagelsmann. I mean, that will be one of a fantastic game. Nobody wants to win the Premier League this season. Mm. Nobody, except my old club, Sheffield United. I mean, they are worried at the bottom. But I look forward to a fantastic game. Can Liverpool win the Champions League? Of course they can. Can they win the Premier League? Of course they can. Will they do it? I don't know. But one thing for sure, Julian Nagelsmann is so happy to meet an English team again because he got a revenge for that terrible suit he had at Old Trafford. So he's happy.
When will Frank Lampard start receiving the criticism that Solskjaer routinely receives? Just 2 points ahead of United, having played two games more after spending £220 million in the summer. Jan, you've been tweeting a lot about Solskjaer. Ollie out was your hashtag.
What?
I like, if you see, if you read between the lines, you see I have a good timing when I do it. I love to do that. I love that question. Frank Lampard have no spend, like you said, 220 million. He getting the most expensive goalkeeper, and he wasn't good enough, so he got another most expensive goalkeeper. So, but he's been doing fine. But I think that Solskjaer has been at Manchester United for a while now, and I think also that the kind of English press love to take on a Norwegian, that they like to do that, and also that Frank Lampard is also, and that is a credit to himself, done fantastically. He's the kind of golden boy of English football, and everybody wants him to succeed. So, but I think at the end of the day, that's so great about football and sport. At the end of the day, you have to win football games. They all be fired at the end, being managers or politicians.
Which Ollie obviously didn't in the Champions League, Jan.
Get fired?
No, he didn't win games. Like, as much as you're touting the fact that he's high up in the Premier League, which we understand is slightly different this season, he did fail to get through Leipzig.
Which is fair. He started fantastically well in Paris and beating Leipzig, but a big disappointment, Inter and Manchester United out of not being in the draw this week, and that is a big disappointment. But Ole has had that ability when he needs to win a game, somehow he gets a win somewhere. So he's still in there, but I don't want to bet on him staying the whole season because it's all about results.
Jan, this is for you again. All these questions are for you. Why has Sorloth struggled so much this year? I know the Bundesliga is a massive leap over the Turkish league, but he was a machine there and now looks completely lost.
Yeah, first of all, he got that first goal. I've been in the situation where you come to another club, another country, and you don't get that first goal. That is terrible. He got that in the Champions League, getting the winner in Istanbul. But it's true, he hasn't looked at it, so to say. I think he's also at the beginning been very compared with Erling Haaland, which is not fair to him because he hasn't that class, he hasn't that level as a football player, and also I think it takes time to understand what's his role is going to be in that Leipzig team, because Nagelsmann demands a lot from his players, and it takes time to learn that, it takes time to get the self-confidence in there, and it also takes time to understand that it's harder to score goals in the German Bundesliga than the Turkish league, no disrespect to the Turkish league.
No, I told them to take this question out. Oh. Jan, how concerned are you with Eintracht Frankfurt's result today? Inability to finish and win games like today is totally unacceptable, and it could come back to haunt them.
I saw three games tonight. I started with my old club Eintracht Frankfurt against Gladbach. I was really sad at the end because they fought very, very hard. They've lost only two games this season. It's against Wolfsburg last round and Bayern Munich. But I think this is their seventh draw or something this season. So it's just sad that they kind of Stindl getting his hat trick today and the last one in 94th minute. So disappointment, but football and in sport, you always get what you deserve. Except in love, Frank, you never get what you deserve, do you?
I'm sorry, what?
Let's explore this some more.
I wanted to get Frank in because he got an easy ride tonight.
Tell us about love, Frank.
No, I'm very happy. I mean, that guy is he knows everything about Bundesliga. Yes. And I have to be fair to the people watching us. I don't watch the Bundesliga. So I'm happy to learn stuff, and you're a fantastic teller, so great.
So what did you learn, Frank?
I'm just listening to you.
What have you learned, Frank?
Did I learn? Well, first, some names of players. and mostly everything about Bundesliga. there is something else that I watched, when Ian was talking about Alan and the fact he had a treatment in Qatar. So I didn't know that people were going to aspire to Qatar to get treatments.
Yeah, that wasn't in this segment, Frank. That was in a different segment.
I know, but I'm still watching Jan because the guy is very interesting. That guy is a reference for me.
Okay, right.
What about love?
Final question. It's not about love.
It's not about love.
Or Haaland. Frank, do you have any good stories from playing in a match over a big holiday weekend? Also, is it weird preparing for a game during a holiday period when you'd rather be home with your family? Well, or maybe not.
good story. There is one game that I remember very much. It's the game that we play against the Saints in Southampton, and Chelsea played under Vialli coaching. We played without any English, and we've been hammered by the press, and I think I lost my my armband as a second captain because Dennis Wise was suspended. And Vialli decided to put me out of the captaincy. And we won 1-0. It was a very tough game. We won 1-0 and we had to win because Chelsea would have been smashed by the press if we would have lost. So it was something that I remember. Otherwise, you know, I was ready to come to England to...
I don't think you understood the question, Frank.
To experience the Boxing Day.
Unless the game...
No.
Was the game against Southampton at Christmas?
Yes, it was at Boxing Day. It was the 26th.
You didn't mention that bit.
Sorry, I didn't mention that. You know, I'm still with Ian and what he says. You know, and I'm not telling all the story. I'm very sorry. It was for Boxing Day. It was the 26th.
Oh, there
sorry,
we go. Good.
Sorry, I'm very sorry.
You thought it was just a random game against Southampton?
I thought Frank just wanted to tell a story about.
No, it was the 26th on Boxing Day.
You didn't say that bit.
More importantly, Frank LeBouf lost the captaincy of the team.
Yeah. Mm. No English. That's what we learned. Yeah, and what was it like playing over Christmas in England?
I loved it. I don't like foreigners coming to England and say they shouldn't play it at Christmas. I think you should stick with it. When I came to England, I didn't score at the beginning in the Premiership with Swindon Town, and Christmas Eve, I played Wycombe Wanderers B team for Swindon Town B team. I came home to my Christmas dinner, which we Norwegians have the 24th, and I had them look at me and said, "Have a look at me now. You can't come lower in your career than you do now, being the worst player on the pitch against Wycombe Wanderers B team." So that was my Christmas Eve in England.
What a cheery story, yeah.
All right, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Wow. Happy New Year.
Happy holidays. Hey.
Your life isn't as bad as Jan. What year was this? 1990 whatever in Swindon.
All right.
Okay, I think that's it. I think we're done. Thank you very much as always for your tweets. We'll be back tomorrow for more reflecting on some of those big games across Europe, including Liverpool against Spurs.